This podcast is brought to you by Perfect Smiles in Nashua, New Hampshire. Do what I did and update your smile. Call 844-A-PERFECT-SMILE. When you change your smile, you change your life.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
Nameless agents riding around in vans, pulling people off the street, depriving them of their constitutional rights. That is not what a democracy looks like. And we are not going to have that in the city of Chicago.
The Department of Justice will immediately surge federal law enforcement to the city of Chicago.
We're moving in lock, stock, and barrel. And I dare you to keep me out!
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
There are meaningful ways that the president could actually help. Instead, it's denigrate, divide, and disparage.
Unfortunately, that level of pettiness is causing disaster in the city of Chicago right now. Too many politicians in my city and across this nation find it's easier to pander to the lowest common denominator in our societies as opposed to challenging people to believe and aspire for something greater.
Who's your captain? Howie Carr.
And what President Trump has done, his spreading of racism, the way he deals with people based on the color of their skin, their national origin, where they're from, is absolutely sickening. People don't make a distinction, as you well know, from a South Korean and someone from Beijing. They make no distinction. It's Asian.
You're not Chinese. I thought you were Chinese. She's not Chinese. I was duped.
Unchained and unstoppable.
You know, the cognitive test. Well, when do you take that?
Usually when there is some issue or some concern about your cognitive abilities.
So. Oh. What were the animal shapes?
Well, it's a lion, a hippo, and a camel.
Isn't that a rhino in the middle?
A rhino.
You don't know a rhino?
That's a rhino,
from
sorry, yes.
One morning, I shot an elephant in my pajamas. How he got in my pajamas, I don't know.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
You know, I'd like to give those idiots on CNN, Cuomo and Don Lemon, I'd like to give them a test. You know what I'd like to give them? A sodium pentothal test. Once I'd injected them, I would say, who do you think's going to do better on that Montreal cognitive test? Your man, Dementia Joe, or Donald J. Trump? And that's why I want to give them a shot first. I want to vaccinate them with some truth serum. 844-500-4242. Time now for the Chump Line.
Hey, Howie, how dare you make fun of Maki? You're still wearing the mattress plaid shorts.
Not when I'm running for the Senate. I'm wearing them when I walk down to the yogurt stand at the end of the block. You know, come on. If I were running for the Senate, I would definitely not be wearing my Madras shorts. I'd probably go and I'd buy a new pair of pants.
For the love of God, could you please learn the word shorts? God, short pants has meant underwear since, what, 1943? Nobody wants to hear about you walking around in short pants.
I wear my short pants when I go to the gymnasium. Come on. So what? What's the big deal? Shorts, short pants? I'm wearing some right
why
now.
Why tire yourself out with the extra syllable, though?
That's just what I was raised saying, short pants.
You still call jeans dungarees?
No. I very seldom ever refer to jeans or dungarees. I never liked them. Never liked them. They were always seemed uncomfortable to me. The Chump Line is brought to you by Matthews Brothers, America's oldest window manufacturer. This week, wondering when it was exactly that the role of poll takers morphed from reflecting public opinion to shaping public opinion. We try to keep this in mind when what we see does not agree with what we're being told we should believe.
Hey, is there any way I can vote for the 1993 Joe Biden?
Did you notice, though, even in 1993, he really wasn't the sharpest knife in the drawer? He was still getting kind of mixed up. he seemed more affable and less lost in the ozone, but he wasn't really somebody that you would want to entrust a brain surgery to, shall we say.
Howie, Joe Biden calling. Come on, man. You need to help stop the spread of COVID-9 by wearing a mask. Look at all the great governors requiring them, like Charlie Parker in Massachusetts, Terry Cuomo in New York, Art Carney in my home state of Delaware, Bud Abbott in Texas, Thomas Wolf in my home state of Pennsylvania, and Jared Polygrip in Colorado. So you don't make people sick. Sick. I mean it.
And when you get sick, 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 sometimes you get dead, dead, dead.
Howie, when Joe Biden goes to a funeral in Chicago, not only does he bring his brass knuckles, but he brings his AK-14.
Yeah, he brought that AK-14 to one of his favorite places in New England, Keene, Vermont.
Hi, Mr. Wheeler. Here's your steak. Here, would you like the salt and pepper? No, I'll take the salt. I've had enough pepper.
Yeah. Oh, he's a big, he's a victim now, the mayor of Portland, Oregon. He got tear gassed. Does this guy think that that really makes him some kind of, Purple Heart recipient? Come on. Were you ever in Boston in the late 1970s? Were you ever at Seabrook when the Clamshell Alliance came to town? I mean, it's not exactly something that millions of Americans haven't experienced.
Virtual fans? That's pathetic. But Democrats are interested in getting them registered to vote.
Well, Joe Biden wouldn't call them virtual fans. He'd call them viral fans. At the viral convention in Milwaukee, and is it going to be the COVID-19 virus or the new virus that he invented yesterday, COVID-9? And we all know how do we treat the? No, we don't have it. We don't have the treatment available. We'll have to call CVS, leave an order at the drive-through window.
Maybe the Seattle government should worry less about a possible NHL franchise and more about cracking some Antifa heads.
Cracking. So they tried to, the new NHL franchise in Seattle has decided to avoid any future possible embarrassment, litigation, politically incorrect faux pas just by naming team after something that doesn't exist.
Howie, Anthony Fauci calling. In about 2 hours, I will be throwing out the first pitch. And though I might be 2 feet shorter and 5 years older than you, I can actually throw a baseball. Whereas the only time you got something over the plate was at an all-you-can-eat buffet.
I wish I had someone record the videotape of me whipping that fastball into the catcher at Hadlock Field in Portland, Maine. Well, it wasn't that fast, but I did get it over the plate. Well, I don't know if I got it over the plate, but at least it didn't bounce in the dirt. That was the important thing.
I think Mr. Frosty was wandering around Baldo looking for that house he pretends he lives in.
Yeah, I know. You get old. Sometimes people get old and they begin to think that they live in the house that they were in when they were a kid. I know this from personal experience in my own family. I wonder if he sometimes tries to wander back. Well, it's the same house, I guess, so it doesn't really matter. It's the same house he lived in when he was at Malden Catholic High. And then he went to BC, and then he went to the Mr. Frosty truck. And then he went to BC Law School. And after he passed the bar exam, he went back to the Mr. Frosty truck. Because would you hire him if you ran a law firm? I sure wouldn't.
Markey's predecessor, Ted Kennedy, did not wear old man pants. Didn't wear any pants.
Sans culotte, as they say in Paris. And you know what? I think it would be a better look to have no pants than those pants that he's wearing in that new 30-second spot.
That was your last chump line message. Thank you for calling Howie Carr, you chump.
All right. The chump line is the recorded voicemail message service of the Howie Carr Show. You can call and leave a message at any hour of the day or night, including weekends. The chump line number, 844-500-4242. That's 844-500-4242. Press 2 for the chump line. Leave your message. We may or may not play it at this time each weekday. If you didn't hear your message or you want to just hear more messages from the chump line that didn't make it onto the airwaves today, we use the messages that were left on the cutting room floor at 7 o'clock. They're posted as a podcast on Chopped Chumps. Chopped Chumps. Get them wherever you get your Howie Carr podcasts. The Chump Line is brought to you by Matthews Brothers, America's oldest window manufacturer. This week, wondering when it was exactly that the role of poll takers morphed from reflecting public opinion to shaping public opinion. We try to keep this in mind when what we see does not agree with what we're being told we should believe.
Markey's predecessor, Ted Kennedy, did not wear old man pants. Didn't wear any pants.
Michelle Cassone, the Patches Kennedy date on that famous traditional Easter weekend. I was out on the beach with Patches, and suddenly the senator stumbled out of the house. And he was not wearing trousers any longer. And I knew it was time to leave. Good thinking, Michelle. I'm Howie Carr.
He's suave, he's debonair, he's Howie Carr.
Hi, this is John in the People's Republic of Amherst, Massachusetts.
This is Heather from Litchfield, Maine.
This is Kent, Wichita, Kansas, and this is the Howie Carr Show.
844-500-4242. Poll question is brought to you by Roman. Talking about erectile dysfunction isn't easy. Good thing Roman makes treating erectile dysfunction simple, safe, and from the comfort of your own home. Get a free online evaluation today at GetRoman.com/Howie. If approved, you'll get $15 off your first order of ED treatment. GetRoman.com/Howie. Taylor, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Will you be following Major League Baseball this year?
Dr. Fauci is throwing out the first pitch this evening. Does that answer your question? Absolutely not.
Only 10% say they will.
Oh, God. How ridiculous is it to pipe in sound, too? I mean, newspaper photographers get fired if they put, like, extra bank of cloud on a picture. How is this any different? Right? And weren't the networks shamed into not using laugh tracks many years ago? And that if you had laughter, you had to have a live studio audience. But now it's all okay. They're gonna Photoshop. Fox says they're gonna. I don't know what the phrase is. Photoshop crowds.
Are they gonna pipe in the sound only on television, or is it gonna be in the stadium?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know the answer to that.
Because I'd imagine the players would get pretty frustrated with fake sound.
You know how Dutch Reagan broke into the media back in, he worked for WHO in Des Moines, huge station. You can still pick it up at night during the winter around here sometimes, I think. But they would get the Cubs games, but they didn't have anybody at Wrigley Field in on the north side of Chicago. They had the teletype or the telegraph was just coming in, and Honus Wagner takes a strike, a call third strike or something, and Dutch would read it as it came across the wire, and I think they had stuff piped in there, and I think they had sound effects piped in on the radio station. Now, I mean, we've come full circle. You know, it's like when I was tweeting out the Whitey Bulger trial, I was tweeting it out and I felt like Damon Runyon doing the Lindbergh trial. You know, that's what he was doing. He was just writing it down and giving it to the Telegraph guy. I didn't have a Telegraph guy. I was the Telegraph guy. Tony, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Tony.
Hello.
Yes.
Is this Howie?
It is.
Hi, how are you? I just wanted to offer some insights, if I could, into, you know, the president sending troops into Chicago. I'm an old reporter from Chicago. I used to work back there in the day with Richard J. Daley and the great Mike Royko. I don't know if you remember him.
I sure do. He worked for the Sun-Times. And then when Rupert bought the Sun-Times, he defected to the Tribune. I remember him well. Go ahead.
Because he called Rupert the alien. But anyway, I was in the corporate world for a long time, but I've been watching, you know, I still pay attention to Chicago. I live in Denver now.
But, oh, boy, you went from the frying pan into the fire, or vice versa.
Way. But I don't know that Donald understands the dynamic that's taken place in Chicago over the last, I'd say, I think it kind of was put into motion when Obama was in the White House. Who's running the show in Chicago now is, it's not the Democratic machine as it used to be in the days of Daley. It's been taken over by the progressives. And the progressives come out of Hyde Park. And that's where Obama came out of.
And Bill Ayers and Bernadine Dorn. Right. Yeah, no, I know, Tony. And you know, it's ironic, isn't it, that alderman from the old Daley area, Bridgeport, I guess, Lopez is his name. He's in the intro. He's a gay Mexican American, and he's like the nearest thing they got to a conservative on the Chicago Board of Aldermen now, Tony. And he's feuding with Lori Lightfoot, the mayor. And she's basically, standing by while these gangs that he's been battling, he's a lib Democrat, but he's still fighting the gangs and they're vandalizing his property, Tony. That never would have happened when Daley was mayor. I'll tell you that. Mark, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, I got 3 points, Howie. You know, there's a 15-ton bronze statue of Lenin in the park in Seattle.
Right.
I thought we could make an exchange with Donald Trump and Putin. Maybe we can make an exchange for Robert Kraft's ring that Putin stole from him for that 15-ton bronze statue.
Yeah, and isn't it weird, Mark, that nothing has happened to that statue? In spite of all the rioting and all the statues being defaced and vandalized, nothing has happened to that statue of Lenin, has it?
Well, listen, if that don't work, we're going to send a tractor trailer and a crane down there and bring it down to the Presidio, and Miguel Gorbachev at the Presidio, they can have their own nation, have their own statue. Yeah. As a matter of fact,
I was just thinking the Germans. The Germans sent Lenin back to Russia to foment the revolution in a sealed rail car. We can send the statue of Lenin back in a sealed rail car to Russia. Maybe can foment it again, return the Soviet Union. I'm Howie Carr.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
844-500-4242. That's the toll-free number of the Howie Carr Show. 978 is, giving me a little bit more on the story about Dutch Reagan. And when he was the play-by-play guy on WHO in Des Moines, you forgot that one time Dutch had the teletype go down for like 15 minutes and he had the pitcher go up to the mound, the coach come out. And then when it came up, everything was a hit until he caught up. Yeah. I guess you could say, they're having a conference at the mound and so-and-so is warming up in the bullpen and, they're taking their time or you could have somebody fouling ball after ball off. My uncle and my father used to tell me, but back in the days in like the polo grounds in New York, before they had the lights up and they went to the night games, as the season progressed and, you know, sunset was earlier and earlier, if one of the teams had a lead, they'd try to keep fouling balls off, you know, just keep trying to just run out the clock until the game was over. Joining us now on the line is Joe Concha. He's the media reporter for The Hill, and you see him on TV all the time. And we just wanted to check in with all the media events of the day. Joe, what do you think of this new baseball season that's beginning tonight with Dr. Fauci is throwing out the first pitch? That just really doesn't seem to match the tenor that they try to portray, that these are the last days, that we have this life and death epidemic, and this guy takes time out to throw out the first pitch. It's kind of crazy, isn't it?
It is a contradiction. Yeah, Howie, it is. If I were Dr. Fauci, I'd say, look, I got bigger fish to fry right now. We have a resurgence of coronavirus in, I always hear Republican states, but California is the worst. They've had their worst death toll yesterday than they've had any time during this pandemic. So this is a Democrat, Republican a problem, and just to do this, I don't know. Let's say President Trump decided he was going to throw up the first pitch at X game, right? Then he would be eviscerated for it. Like, why are you doing this when people are dying? But the Fauci could do it's all okay. Plus, you know what? The guy's maybe like 5'4", 70-something years old. He's not throwing from the rubber. That I know, Howie. That's from the front of the mound. We're going to see that tonight. No Curt Schilling out there, that's for sure.
I know. I've done it, and I made sure I was right on the mound. You got to do that.
Really?
Just for
how'd that go? That must be the most nerve-wracking thing in the history of nerve-wracking things, right?
It is, because you know everybody's watching you, and you know, and especially in the days of social media, everybody's going to give you crap if you bounce it in the dirt like Barack Obama did, right? But I got it across. Yeah. I got it across the plate. By the way, Trump just canceled the Republican convention in Jacksonville. So the thing is, though, Joe, let's go back and talk about the testing, the cognitive testing that Trump mentioned last night on Fox. I mean, and he's taken all this grief about taking that test. But if he hadn't taken the test, they'd be giving him grief. It's the same old story. Whatever he does, they're going to rip him for it, right?
Remember, Howie, he took a cognitive test, I believe it was 2 years ago, when everybody says, well, you know, Joe Scarborough says from his White House sources that the president is in the early stages of onset dementia. Boy, that early stage has been going on for a while now, hasn't it, Joe? Right? So he takes the test, he scores 30 out of 30, all right? And everybody says, well, the doctor, you know, is in Trump's corner and probably manipulated the test. Like, you're right. There is no good solution when it comes to Trump and the media. Meanwhile, you compare that to, say, Andrew Cuomo, right, where in New York, and I'm right near New York, 6,000 deaths in nursing homes alone based on his executive order to send back COVID-19 positive patients back into nursing homes, which is like taking a blowtorch to dry grass. And this guy is praised as the greatest politician ever. And meanwhile, he's in Georgia yesterday not wearing a mask when he's screaming at everybody to wear a mask. So, yeah, look, there is a no-win situation for this president in this particular situation. And it's not going to end until Joe Biden is elected president in November. But I got to tell you, Howie, there is a big enthusiasm gap with Joe Biden. He did a live stream yesterday. At one point, 19 people were watching. Not 19,000. 19 people were watching. And his only message is, I'm going to spend a lot of money, and I don't care about rioting in cities. So I don't know. I'm seeing 2016 all over again in terms of the opponent to Trump not having a positive message. And the only message is, Trump is bad. Vote for me because I'm a good person.
Yeah. How about 62% of the people don't want to give their real political views because they're afraid of being canceled or blowback, whatever you want to call it. I think that's a large number of mostly Trump voters who are saying that. And again, they're not going to tell people, any pollsters, how they're voting. Just like Joe, you remember the exit polls? They used to be pretty accurate. But for the last 20 years or so, nobody's been telling the exit pollsters anything truthful. You know, those numbers are never worth anything.
I'm like you, Howie. I'm in a blue state, right? I'm in Jersey. You're in Massachusetts. And I can tell you, I have plenty of Democratic friends. I have plenty of Republican friends. And the Republican friends are petrified to even remotely speak out. I mean speak out like, you know, on Facebook, on social media. We saw a teacher in Michigan who was just fired because he says, I'm done being silent. Donald Trump is our president.
Right.
And that's all he wrote. And not like a reprimand from the school. Let's not get political. You know, you didn't have to post that. Can you delete it? You're fired. You're eliminated. The Goya CEO says something nice about the president while he's at the White House, as he said about President Obama when he was there in 2012. And they tried to boycott his company. And so, yeah, it's such a sensitive time. If I have a good career, I'm not saying anything like I support this president in any way, shape, or form. And that's why the polls, I think we should really take a lot of caution around, because I think people are even afraid to tell pollsters how they feel.
Yeah. And you know, getting back to the cognitive test, remember Joe Biden was asked briefly about this, and he just said, oh, yeah, I've taken it. I take them all the time. And there's never any follow-up. No one's ever criticizing him. No one is trying to dissect his appearances. And, you know, we do it all the time on this show, Joe. And maybe it's unkind, but it's also instructive to see how lost he becomes when he gets into the most basic discussions like numbers. He can't remember how many billions of dollars were in the stimulus package 10 years ago. He says 84 billion one day, 800 billion the next day. He goes back and forth. He doesn't know what state he's in. He called it COVID-9 yesterday, and he gets a total pass.
If I'm a reporter, and look, he doesn't take any questions, right? He's done one press conference where he took questions from six reporters. That was it. One press conference over the last 100 days. But if I'm a reporter there and I actually care about the truth and I want to challenge people in power, and this isn't a gotcha question or an unfair question, I would say, Mr. Biden, you said that you get tested several times a day on a cognitive basis. What are the results of those tests? What doctor administrated those tests? And can we see the results of those tests? That's all. Because Trump would be asked the same question. Any politician would. But you're right. He gets a pass because that's the way it works now. And it's just, I just can't believe that people are listening to Joe Biden and saying, yeah, we should put this guy in charge, considering that, look, I watched the 2012 vice presidential debate between Paul Ryan and Joe Biden. He was good in that debate. He was sharp. He knew his arguments. You could disagree with the arguments. I get that completely. But he is not remotely the same person he was 8 years ago. And this is a person who wants to be the leader of the free world. I'm sorry. The minute that he is forced to talk, and that's going to happen after Labor Day, believe me, when people are really paying attention, and he actually has to do some interviews and do the debates, more importantly, Donald Trump needs to make sure that the moderators chosen for those three debates are actual journalists, objective, who will ask tough questions on both sides, particularly to Mr. Biden, because I have a feeling he will wilt under that pressure and people will be like, whoa, all right, I may not like Trump, but that guy has no business being near the Oval Office, let alone any office.
Well, they have somebody with them at all times now when he's doing these interviews from the basement. And as soon as he begins to lose it, like yesterday, he started yelling, sick, sick. And they just wrap it up immediately. I keep asking myself, is that guy who cut it off, is he in a white coat, a lab coat? You know, does he have a net? he's not. He's just not there. And how the MSNBC people, I'm just looking at another one of your stories from a couple of days ago. Heilman says that Trump is deploying the feds to Portland as a trial run to steal the election. I mean, how demented are these people to say this stuff? And why are they still on the air when they say crazy stuff like this? Does Heilman really believe that? Do you think?
Yeah. I thought Mark Halperin is a pretty good journalist, right? I get, you know, with the whole Me Too movement and everything that was accused against him, he no longer is there. But he was, remember Simon and Garfunkel, right?
Yeah.
Heilman is Garfunkel. You don't want to be Garfunkel, right? So now, look, these guys don't care about the truth. They care about, do I say something on television? I do a lot of television, as you mentioned. And if I say it, will that go viral? And will I get a write-up in Mediaite? And will I be on all these shows, you know, talking about in the most provocative terms in a way where more attention is drawn to me? No one cares about Pulitzers anymore. They care about getting invited on Stephen Colbert so then they could talk more bad stuff about Trump. But I got to tell you, the minute Donald Trump leaves the stage, all these people have no careers because they've lost all their credibility. When you say things like it's a trial run to stay in office, to send federal assets to Portland or Chicago or Minneapolis, New York, where, believe me, I'm in New York, it is a mess here. The real estate agencies in New Jersey, they're all going to be millionaires because everybody's moving out because there's shootings. At least New York used to be, well, it's expensive, but it's safe. Now it's expensive and it's unsafe. Who would ever want to live there? And Portland is a prime example. I hear journalists telling me that it's peaceful protests going on in Portland. Well, I see fires and cops being attacked with fireworks. Are you kidding me? So, yeah, I've lost my mind, man. I'm usually an objective, not really emotional person. That's all over. I can't take it anymore, Howie.
I understand, Joe. What about COVID-19? These media outlets and newspapers, radio, TV, they promote this panic porn as if it's the end of the world here. And I keep asking myself, you know, everybody in Boston, all the media outlets are laying people off. It's the same way across the country. You have McClatchy's in bankruptcy. Tribune Company is basically bankrupt. And these people are promoting keeping the economy shut down. Do they ever think that it's going to come back to haunt them? I mean, they have to, right?
Wow. Yeah. I just don't understand it.
It's like, yeah, it's... I think about it all the time because, you know, my newspaper, The Herald, has had a lot of layoffs and I just can't believe that. And so have all the papers that I know of. And, you know, why it's one thing to report the news objectively, but it's like they're rooting. They're looking for the worst statistics possible. And even though there are warnings from various sources that these numbers are being inflated or just not inflated, but totally made up out of whole cloth, and they're still running with them, and they're gleefully running with them.
I'll raise my hand. We had pay cuts where I work, but I understood them because, you know, we couldn't do live events anymore. We couldn't do, you know, our advertising revenue had dropped because, you know, those companies were affected. So that's the first thing that goes is you don't advertise a product. You want to just keep the product alive at that point. The death tolls are rising now. It's a very real thing. I don't like the revisionist history, though, around, well, President Trump should have said that to wear a mask, and if we just did that. The CDC was saying in March and April that masks don't make any difference, you shouldn't wear a mask, don't wear a mask. So everybody was yelling at Trump to listen to the doctors in March and April, and then when the CDC and Dr. Fauci and everybody else said, no, a mask isn't necessary, well, he was listening to the doctors. So when at some point are we going to start blaming those people in terms of putting us on the wrong path? It's a mess, and this is like a presidential election, Howie, I've never seen before. I always just wish that this thing never came, and we just had a fair fight between Donald Trump and Joe Biden based on issues. But this thing is blotting out the sun, along with the George Floyd killing, and now we're going to elect somebody who clearly has no business being anywhere near the presidency, or we're not, maybe, because again, the polls, we talked about that, but he has a lot better chance now than he did before, and it's just a shame because, you know, we were on such a good path right before all this came along.
I know we were looking at four more years of peace and prosperity. Now God only knows what's going to happen. Joe Concha, always a pleasure. Thanks for being with us here on the Howie Carr Show. I'm Howie Carr.
Howie Carr. You can trust him. He's not like the others.
Hi, this is Cindy from Osterville, Massachusetts.
This is Brett Rock from Dunstable, Massachusetts.
This is Amy in Lisbon Falls, Maine, and this is the Howie Carr Show.
844-500-4242. Let's take a little bit of the president's press conference. He's just canceled the convention in Jacksonville over the the virus. But here he is.
Isn't the example of Jacksonville that we're pushing too fast?
Well, baseball as an example, we were discussing it a little while ago. You're going to be at an empty stadium. I've agreed. Randy Levine's a great friend of mine from the Yankees. He asked me to throw out the first pitch. And I think I'm doing that on August 15th at Yankee Stadium. And I say, how's the crowd going to be? And, you know, it's like you don't have a crowd. There is no such thing. It's going to be interesting, Mariano. He's not used to that. I've been at many games. He walks in, the place goes crazy. I think it'd be just as good without the crowd. You were just born with it. You know, some people are born with it. I don't know if this is only for the baseball players, but I've never seen a pitcher throw a ball where so many bats were broken as Mariano. He's got the all-time record. I said, how do you do that? He said, parents. Great parents, when you get right down to it, right? How do you do that? It's called parents. But to finish, I think that we have to all set examples. I think Major League Baseball is setting an example by, you know, playing to empty stadiums, and so are other sports. You see that. Now, then they'll allow a certain number in. I see golf is now, soon will be allowing people to come in and percentages, and all of a sudden, we want to get back to normal. The key is to get back to normal, because nobody wants to see this, but I think it's
the Democrats do, Mr. President.
Opening. It looks like football's opening. It looks like sports are opening. We have, it's a tremendous thing psychologically for our country. And
let's take a call or two here. Bob Maines from Matthews Brothers. Go ahead, Bob.
Hey, Howie, how you doing?
Good. What's happening?
Let's touch on what Joe Concha was talking about with the polls. Much like my confidence going into the election day in 16, I spent 2 days driving around doing photo projects, driving around Maine, New Hampshire, and Massachusetts. And I started doing my own little poll, and I stopped counting Trump signs, houses with Trump signs, at 350. I stopped counting Matthews Brothers job signs at 46, and I found one. Joe Biden yard sign. One Biden yard sign.
Was an interesting point about his basement video yesterday. There were 26 minutes in, were 19 people on it. Right now, listening to us talk, watching us on YouTube, there's probably hundreds, you know, hundreds. How do you only have 19 people when you're the presumptive Democrat nominee? It's pretty sad, isn't it?
No, that's the poll that counts. That's the true poll right there.
Yeah.
That's what the election is going to be, 80 to 20.
I hope so. I hope so. Bob, we'll be right back. 844-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.